Every little boy in New Zealand, some of them are there in this congregation, who love rugby, but you may not, would like to be an All Black one day. That is their dream. Now that is built into the young boys by their parents, the media, and the national interest in the game. And these young boys, although they are heroes, and they dream about being an All Black one day. Now that is their interest, and they are so preoccupied with the All Blacks and think about them and dream about them even all day. Their fascination with the All Blacks manifests in their conversations and the kind of toys that they will have and the clothes they wear. Now that is the dream of a young boy in New Zealand, to be an All Black. The other day, I happened to watch a T20 cricket match. You heard about it, but we are more familiar with that. And that is played in Sydney cricket grounds between Australia and India. Now, I have never seen Aussies cheering for the loss of an Aussie team in Australia. The entire stadium was filled with Indian Australians, or Indians studying or working in Australia. There's such a big blue wave in the entire stadium. There were very few baggy green t-shirts that I was able to see in the stadium. The Indians, just like the Kiwi kids, are fascinated with their cricket team and dream about their team winning. They are cricket fanatics. Every four or a six, their captain Kohli or Dhawan or Rohit hits sends them into a hysterical excitement, and they go berserk. Now, what is your dream this morning? As a Christian, what is your dream, and what are you interested about? What is your fantasy? There's a clear difference here between a Christian and a non-Christian. The interest of a Christian is totally different to that which is of a non-Christian. Of course, there are many things in life both do share and have a common interest. I am speaking about a core interest and the fascination of a Christian. I am speaking about the things for which a Christian lives for. I am speaking about the things which is that is primary interest or a focus of a Christian man or a woman. It is that distinguishes a Christian from a non-Christian. For the past few weeks, we have gone through the subject of Christian assurance or a biblical assurance. This morning, I want to touch on another aspect of the same doctrine by opening up this core interest or a fascination of the Christian, which is clearly brought out by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. And this is what Paul says in Romans 8 and verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Let me read it again. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now this verse recognizes only two kinds of people. The distinction made in this verse is not between those who are less spiritual and those who are full of the Spirit. That's not the distinction that is made. Those who live according to the flesh in this verse are those who are without the Holy Spirit and non-Christians. those who live according to the Spirit are those who possess the Holy Spirit and Christians. Now, throughout verses 4 to 8 in this chapter, in this context, the distinction is made between these two types: those who live by the sinful nature and those who live by God's Spirit, non-Christians and Christians, that Paul is talking about. Both the King James Version and the New King James Version use a term in verse 6 that is helpful. Instead of referring to mindset on what the Spirit desires, they speak of being spiritually minded. Being spiritually minded. It is important to understand what it means. By using the term spiritually minded, Paul means a mind oriented specifically towards the things of God. That's what being spiritually minded means. Now, a non-Christian may have an interest about the invisible spiritual realm, the things unseen, but his spiritual interest is not from God. His thoughts and ideas are not specifically about the things of the only living God. He thinks about eternal things without having God and the Holy Spirit in him. Therefore, his thoughts are not God-centered or God-oriented. He cannot be called a spiritually minded person. Now, the question I want to ask you this morning is, are you spiritually minded? Are you spiritually minded? The question is very important. Let me tell you why. Here is the reason. Only spiritually minded are Christians. Only spiritually minded are Christians. The verses we have seen in Romans already teach us what you set your mind on indicates your spiritual condition. In other words, the thoughts of your mind reveal the state of your heart. That's what Paul is saying. If your mind is set on sinful nature and earthly things instead of heavenly things, then you are spiritually dead. You are not a Christian. How can I say that? Notice what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. See what Paul is saying? They are the enemies of Christ. They set their minds on earthly things. Each one of us in this congregation belongs to one of the two groups. Non-Christians who set their minds on the sinful nature and things of the world, and Christians who set their minds on the things of the Spirit. That's the distinction Paul makes in Romans 8 and that verse 5. Now, recently teaching the subject of the perseverance of the saints at our School of Theology class on Saturday, I explained about those who are called as backsliders. You remember that? We've gone through that on two Saturdays. There's a clear teaching in the scriptures about backsliders. At that time, I said to our men that only a Christian can be a backslider. Only a Christian who backslides. It is a temporary state in which some Christians find themselves before repenting and enjoying the joy of assurance. Since the backslidden are Christians, they too set their minds on the things of the Spirit of God because He is in their minds. in the midst of their backslidden state, they are constantly harassed about their sin by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God will keep reminding them about their obedience to Christ. He will confront them about the will of God, and He will urge them back to the ways of God. Though the backsliders have long neglected or resisted the things of the Spirit, their minds are never empty of the voice of the Holy Spirit. To some degree, the backsliders are spiritually minded because they have their mindset on what the Spirit desires. It is for that reason they eventually return to faithfulness. So in a backslidden state, a backslidden Christian has not left the Holy Spirit or lost their salvation. The minds of non-Christians don't act in that way. Notice what Paul says in Romans 8 again. For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. That's all that they can do. Those who are in their flesh. In other words, those who live according to their sinful nature. That is their nature. Their minds are set on the things of the flesh. And that's what he's saying. So in this verse, Paul speaks of the things of the flesh. It is a much broader term that Paul is using. It means to be consumed with all kinds of earthly things rather than the things of the Spirit of God. In other words, think about anything without ever thinking of its relationship to God. Now this Paul calls thinking according to the sinful nature. There are many conservative people in this world who believe that there is a God who is the God of the world, who believe and speak about looking after our environment and making good morals in life, maintaining good morals in life, but still they are not spiritually minded because they do not have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So setting your mind on sinful nature in this verse means that whatever you think or do, that God is not in the center of it. Those who do not have God as the center of their life are not born into the family of God. Christians think differently. Christians think differently. They are spiritually minded people. 300 years ago, the great Puritan preacher John Owen, when he explained Romans chapter 8 and 5, he pointed out three things, and let me give them to you this morning. First of all, the spiritually minded think about the things of God spontaneously. The spiritually minded think about the things of God spontaneously. That's the point. The spiritually minded don't rely on any external elements to cause them to think about God. They don't need a trigger and in order to cause them to think about spiritual things. They think about God spontaneously. You've seen and heard people who think about God when a disaster strikes them. I know a man who cuts my hair, and I tend to talk to him about Jesus whenever I visit him and whenever it is possible. Recently he was speaking about his older sister who lives in his native country, and there is no one there to care for her. Her own son doesn't seem to show any interest in caring for her. So the man was asking me to pray for his sister and seeking help as to how to and when to pray. Now, the dire need of his sister, an external cause, constrained him to think about God and prayer. But he is a man in the flesh. He doesn't know God. When the Asian tsunami struck Indonesia and Sri Lanka years ago, many people's mind turned towards God and they were asking questions about good and evil and eternity. The tsunami, an external cause that made them to do that. It was the same with when the Twin Tower of New York City came down. It's the same with many people when they find themselves in a dire situation, they begin to think about God and prayer. External causes direct them or stir them to do that. When it comes to a Christian, it is entirely different. It is entirely different. He is not in need of any external elements or trigger points to prompt him to think about God. Someone may be saying, "You just don't understand my situation. I'm so busy all day long. I rarely have time to think about God or spiritual things." That's the point. It doesn't matter how busy you are. The Christian can't help think about God spontaneously throughout the day. Just as you don't have to consciously think about breathing, a Christian don't have to consciously bring up thoughts about God. His mind is constantly set on God and what he does or what he is. That's what a Christian is. So a Christian, the spiritually minded, think about God and the things of God spontaneously. Do you? Do you? Secondly, the spiritually minded think about the things of God more than anything else. They think about the things of God more than anything else. There is no greater evidence of salvation than a change in the whole direction of your thinking. To think wrongly and very little about God and the things of God all your life, and then begin to think about spiritual things more than anything else, is a solid proof of the work of God's grace in you. And what Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 2, that's what we were. Now it is all changed by the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. The next point is, when you are spiritually minded, you think about spiritual things not just spontaneously, but abundantly. You think about them abundantly. Spiritual, though the thoughts abound in your life like leaves on a tree. I was watching a tree on my yard, and it is the time of the year. I get someone to trim it because it flourishes with leaves. The tree is full of leaves. A spiritual-minded person, and his mind flourishes with the thoughts of God. Spontaneously, he will think about them, and he will think about them abundantly. David writes about his experience of having abundance of spiritual thoughts every day in his life in Psalm 119, verse 97. Notice what he says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation occasionally." No, that's not what he says. "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." All the day. It doesn't mean that he had the Bible in his hand every day. It means he always had spiritual thoughts bubbling in his mind. When you are spiritually minded, you think about God more than anything else, because you think about everything from a spiritual, God-centered perspective. Last night, I was on a phone call with a pastor who is trying to help a member who is in trouble with a huge debt in life. The man has messed up his life and in trouble, not just financially, but also spiritually. Now, a spiritual man whose mind always bubbles with spiritual thought will never ever get himself to that position. For the reason, he will always address his financial situation in a God-centered way. Whether it is finance or anything else in life, he will always look at them with a godly spiritual perspective. His question will always be, what does the Bible say about this issue? Should I be investing in this? Is it necessary? What is my motive in investing in that thing with my money? And do I have sufficient money to do that? By doing it, will it cause any problem? What is God saying about it? Because I am here to glorify God in all things. That's how a spiritual man will address everything in life, not just with a financial investment. With another pastor, I was discussing about the need of the disabled children and the families in this church, as some of these families are concerned about their future. What will happen to my child when I die? Who will look after the child? How should one go about such a thing? Again, if you are spiritually minded, you will address the issue in a spiritual way, asking the question, what does the Bible say about this whole matter? And you will ask God to direct your thoughts on this matter. That is the spiritual frame of mind of the one who is spiritual. He thinks about God spontaneously and more than anything else. When it comes to sports or recreation, politics or social issues, you will wonder, what is God's perspective on that matter? But God's perspective on that matter. This early morning you were joking about doing exercise and what way you do. But then I made the point, we are not fanatics. We don't live for that. We don't spend our entire life wanting to look like a Superman physically. But it is also necessary. Bodily exercise is what? Profitable. You need to ask the question, if God was put into the Word of God, it is profitable. And how much is profitable? How am I to go about it? Why did you say that, God? We need to ask questions. And everything God says, we don't ignore it. Even in the matter of physical exercise, we bring God into it. As a spiritual man would do. Because we do not live for the things of the world. We bring God into everything. So, if it is a natural disaster like the one in Alaska, over 7 points, what will a Christian, a spiritual minded person would do? He will immediately think about judgment. Immediately think about judgment. Hearing the death of a former president, George H.W. Bush, you will think about eternity. That's what a spiritual minded person would think about. And you look at the beautiful sunset, and you will think about God's creative activity. When you're spiritually minded, everything reminds you of something related to God. That's what a spiritual minded person would do. The most important of all, even when you sin as a Christian, you think about God. Sometimes Christians will think about sinful things for a lengthy period of time. In the teaching of the Bible, even the best Christians will still think about sinful matters and do sinful deeds. You deny that? Go back and read the Bible properly. Even the best of Christians will still think about sinful matters and do sinful deeds. But the Spirit often warns you that what you are about to do or think, and that He warns you that you are doing it against God and God's law, and by doing it you will be displeasing for doing something not to please God. So your conscience will frequently warn you. It will frequently burn in the minds of a sinful act with the awareness that you are breaking the law of God and causing God grief. That's what the Spirit does. And immediately afterward you will know, having done that sinful activity, that you are grieved. And you have grieved the Holy Spirit. And you will begin to regret what you have done. And despite your shame, you will come to Jesus Christ, whom you know to be holy, and you will confess your sin and ask Him forgiveness. That's what a spiritual man would do. It is not that he's sinlessly perfect in this world, but he's having the Holy Spirit in him, who is working in him, that He will cause him to regret the things he does, and he turns and asks forgiveness. Why would anyone think about God at the moment he or she is sinning against Him? Why would he do that? Why would anyone with a shame of sin want to turn at once to a holy God? It is unnatural, right? You know what? There is an explanation for that. Christians do not think naturally. Christians do not think naturally. They think spiritually because they are spiritually minded. It's a natural man who thinks naturally. Spiritual man thinks after the Holy Spirit. They think that way because the Spirit is within them and is always pushing thoughts of God to the forefront of their thinking. Whichever way you turn the compass, the needle always points to the north. It always points to the north. No matter what a Christian thinks about, his or her mind soon looks to God. That is spiritual mindedness. So the spiritual minded will think about God spontaneously and abundantly. Lastly and finally, the spiritually minded, when they think about the things of God, they do so with more delight and enjoyment than anything else. And the spiritual person, they think about God and the things of God, they do so with more delight and enjoyment than anything else. There are thousands of things that will pop in our minds each day. Which ones you most like to dwell on? The spiritually minded typically find more joy and delight in the thoughts of God and the things of God than anything else. The Westminster Confession, or the Catechism rather, it opens with a question. What is the chief end of man? In other words, what were we made for? The answer is to love God and to enjoy Him forever. To love God and to enjoy Him forever. So the spiritually minded person understands that, because they both love and enjoy God more than anything else in life. They know that it is not only important to obey God in all things, but also to love and to enjoy Him. That is why keeping of the law, God's law, is not burdensome to a Christian. He does it willingly and joyfully for God's glory. Do you enjoy thinking about God? Those who are not spiritually minded don't delight in thoughts of God. They can't do it. It is impossible for them to do that. Romans 8:7, and Paul tells us why. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed it can be. The carnal mind here is a sinful mind, speaking about people who are not Christians. Now the unspiritual person, the one who doesn't know Christ, have one of three choices. And here is choice one. Either they are so terrified of God that they cannot think of Him. The choice two, they feel so guilty because of their sin that they do everything to keep God out of their mind. The choice three, they choose the common response, that is, to form wrong ideas about God and believe in a God who works well with their own thoughts and ideas. That's what they do. One of these choices. That's what is left for them. That's what there's so many run away from God and trying to resist the very idea of God. And also will resist anyone speaking to them about God or keep away from the means of grace to do other things, to entertain themselves with their own ideas and to have a God of their own. That is horrible. But the spiritual person is different. It's different. They invent themselves a God. And they love self rather than God. They keep deceiving themselves with their anti-God ideas. They reject the God of the Bible and construct a God of their own to keep satisfying their conscience. That's not so with the spiritually minded. The spiritually minded love God as He really is. Even things about God that are repulsive to his natural human mind become delightful to the mind that is set on the things of God. The Bible speaks about the wrath of God. The Bible speaks about the terror of God. For the unbelieving people, that will be a horrible idea. But a spiritual minded, he will be eager to hear. Because he believes in the terror of God and the wrath of God. And he would delight in hearing everything about God. Well, this morning, again the question is your mind set on what the Spirit desires? Is your mind set on what the Spirit desires? If your mind is set on what the Spirit desires, we are spontaneously thinking about God and the things of God, and abundantly, well, of course, you can have true assurance in Christ. You can have true assurance of Christ. If this is not your case this morning, if you are a stranger to all the things that I'm talking about, then Paul says you are in the flesh, and you need to repent. You need to repent. You need to come to Christ. You need the deliverance from your natural state, in your sinful state. A deliverance that only can come from God through Christ. And the Bible says God has done everything necessary according to His power to bring upon that deliverance to you. Deliverance from sin. What did He do? That's the very thing that we are going to meditate this morning. That God sent His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for the sins of many people. The sins of many people. Christ has done everything necessary in order to deliver you from your sin. Come to Jesus Christ, repenting from your sin, acknowledging Him to be the only living God of heaven. There is hope then salvation only in Him. And if you believe that and embrace Jesus Christ by faith, you will be forgiven, delivered from your sin. You will have Christ in you and the Holy Spirit. So necessary to be spiritually minded. Will you do that? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these reminders this morning about being spiritually minded. As we now, Lord, come before this ordinance that you have established for the good of your people, that you would help us, Father, to enter into it with our minds being fully focused upon the death and resurrection of your Son and the benefits that we have received as a result of our faith in your Son and our Lord Jesus Christ. You would minister to our hearts through the Holy Spirit and give us encouragement, comfort, and strength even as we feed upon Christ by partaking of the Lord's Supper this morning. Help us, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.